Our brother James Mobier will give us our exhortation this morning. He's asked in preparation for that exhortation to read Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites, and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give to his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers. Hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt? Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him, he will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments, and the statutes, and the judgments, which I command thee this day, to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments, and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep, and the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you, or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from all these from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Then I shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thy heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders, and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them, until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you as a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction, until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings unto thy hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them. the graven images of their gods ye shall burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thy house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. So reads Deuteronomy chapter 7. Brother James does not have a title, and I guess it's up to us to decide what that is.
Good morning, brothers and sisters and friends of God's truth. I deliberately left out the title this morning because we in the Orlando Ecclesia, well, I haven't spoken in other ecclesias, just a handful of them, where the speaker here in Orlando has the unique privilege of choosing the hymns that's linked with their topic. So I think that's a great idea. And also, of course, the scripture reading is also linked to it. So this morning, as I said before, I deliberately left out the topic. And eventually we'll get to it once the talk progresses. So this morning, I'd like to ask a question. Why are we here? No need to answer, because I'm sure you have all different answers, and it'll lead to that one topic that we hear. Why are we here? Why are we really here? Well, I tried to go outside the box, so to speak. I was thinking about things. Why are we here? That's not related to our being here. I could come up with a few of them, like, okay, Sunday mornings, really can't sleep late, you know. What is there else to do but get showered, dressed, and an hour later I'm meeting in Orlando? Or for those of us who have children, I like my child or children to grow up in the truth, so I bring them to the meeting and Sunday school. But what's the driving force behind all of this, brothers and sisters? Why are we here? There is something that's driving us here, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Today, sorry. I said tonight, huh? I wouldn't go that long. In the chapter that was read this morning, there are a few verses that really bring this point out. Brothers and sisters, there is no doubt in our minds that our faith in God's Word has become an anchor to our being throughout our whole lives. Our hope gives us a peace that passes all understanding of the world. For we are sure of the faithfulness of God. That's a clue right there. The faithfulness of God, who has promised us to share in the inheritance of His Son. That's the driving force I'm referring to. Our faith being here, and God's faith, God's promise to us, brothers and sisters, is marvelous. It's wonderful when you think about it. We look back in the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, and we can see that whatever He has promised has come to pass. Probably instantly, days, weeks, years, hundreds, maybe thousands of years, but it will come to pass. But when we really realize all this, all that this means, we may questionably falter a little. Not from lack of faith, which is an essential ingredient to our relationship to God through His Son, but because the extraordinary, awesome potential of God's purpose staggers even our imagination. For instance, have you ever thought about the personality of God? Can you imagine a being who has always been and always will be? Can you imagine a being so wise and so powerful as to create all creation? Can you contemplate the prospect of living forever? Can our finite minds conceive such thoughts? Brothers and sisters and friends of God's truth, the purpose of God is so gigantic in scope, so beyond our imagination, it is only by faith that we can accept its reality. There is but one way to bring our reality to a soundness of understanding, and that is to have an awareness of the faithfulness of God. To have proven to us, without doubt, that as He had told us in Isaiah 55. Let's turn to that, please. Isaiah 55. Verses 10 and 11. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whitherto I sent it. Also, Paul declared in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, sorry about that, 1 Corinthians, the 1st chapter, the 9th verse. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9 reads, God is faithful by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. In closing his first letter to the Thessalonians, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, First Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24 reads, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body are preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that called you, who also will do it. All of our hope of the promises of God made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David, the restoration of Israel, the redemptive work of Christ, our fellowship in His sufferings and His glory, the setting up of His kingdom, the glorification of the whole earth, all of these revelations of God's purpose depend upon and are associated with this one great fact. God's faithfulness. Brothers and sisters, we often use the term, it is good to be true. It is good to be true. But brothers and sisters, there is nothing too good to be true in the if the promise is from God. Let's turn to Psalm 125. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands into iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. Whatever grand scheme is spoken of in the Scriptures, even though it seems too huge, too beautiful for us to comprehend, it will come to pass. Because God is faithful. His word is irrevocable. That which he has spoken will come to pass. In him there is no inconsistency, no shadow of turning. Our trust is in one who will not change. God is faithful. As Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 7, the chapter that was read this morning, let's go back to the 9th and 10th verses. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repay them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Here, brothers and sisters, we have a blessing and a warning. The faithfulness of God will bring to all either good or evil as they merit. Let us look at this revelation in the Scriptures. When God brought Israel out of the bondage of Israel, Joshua said in Joshua 23, Joshua 23, verse 14, reads, And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing had failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you. And not one thing hath failed thereof. We are assured here, brothers and sisters, every single thing God had predicted and promised came to pass. We are assured by this man who led Israel into the land God had promised them that not a single thing had failed to come to pass that God had promised. As we come to the time of Solomon, we see again the faithfulness of God, for we are told in 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, First Kings chapter 8. And we'll read a couple of verses. 55 and 56. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that had given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he had promised. According to all that he promised, there had not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Here we see that from the time of Moses to the time of Solomon, not one thing that God had promised failed to come to pass. Yes, brothers and sisters, God is faithful whether it is for good or evil. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles, the 36th chapter. Second Chronicles 36, and we'll read from verse 11. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against them, till there was no remedy. There was no remedy. They went to captivity. Their kingdom came to an end, never to come into existence again until he comes, whose right it is to set it up. 600 years later, we see Israel back in their own land, but having no kingdom, for they were under the dominion of the Gentiles. God is faithful even in his severe judgments. But God had also promised that in 70 weeks after their return to Jerusalem, their Messiah would appear. Was he faithful in this? Let us ask Paul in Galatians 4:4. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. The Son of God, born at the time appointed, crucified according to God's prediction, buried according to the scriptures, and raised again from the dead, because God is faithful. It is well that we remember this. Remember that God means exactly what he says. His decrees are firm. His promises sure. He cannot deny himself, because God indeed is faithful. So what all of this means to us? Let us ask ourselves this question. Why are we in covenant relation to God? Why are we in covenant relationship to God? Why are we secluded? Set apart from millions upon millions of people of God's creation. Why do we have a knowledge of God's purpose with Israel, with His Son, with His kingdom, with the frightening things that are coming upon the world? Why are we in this select group, having the privilege of bearing Christ's name, called to be saints, while millions and millions of people are being left out? There's only one reason. God has visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people to bear His name. It is His faithfulness in His promise that has brought us around the table in fellowship with His Son. Think about this very seriously, brothers and sisters. Why you? Or why me? Because God is faithful in what He has promised. And He has promised that those who believe in His word, those who bear His Son's name, belong to Him. This is why Jesus prayed so personally for His disciples in John 17. Let's turn to that. John chapter 17, and we could start from the 6th verse, verse 6. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them Me. And they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given Me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest Me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send Me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou gavest, which Thou hast given Me. For they are Thine, and all Mine are Thine, and Thine are Mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to Thee, Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as we are. For us, in verses 20 and through 23, verse 20 of the same chapter, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one, as We are one, I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me, and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. We are here because God is faithful in His promise, in His purpose with us. Ephesians 1. Ephesians Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he had abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We are here because we are striving to be faithful too. As faithful to our commitment to God and his Son as the Son was to the Father. The one thing that we must never forget is all that is represented by the name Moses heard at the burning bush. And that is, I am that I am. God is and was and ever will be. The Spirit of God that moved upon the face of the waters in Genesis and brought order out of chaos is able and will fill the earth with his glory. We must learn that what seems impossible to us, God makes possible according to his will. Thus we can believe in our one salvation, that God can take the dust that we are and build us up to the glory of his Son. As we believe in God's purpose, and as we believe in God's purpose with us, as his Son believed his Father's purpose in him, that we have been chosen, called to be saints, to rule and reign with our Christ over the kingdom of God, then there is a divine necessity laid upon us, a magnificent obsession would set our whole being on fire to become fit for the magnificent purpose of God. We need to remember that we have a faithful God that has promised the work, that has promised to work a miracle in us. Make us like his Son. And as that wonderful day seems about to dawn, we need the consuming passion, the burning desire to give God the preeminence in our lives. We need, brothers and sisters, to let his word kindle a flaming fire that will glorify our faithful God by our own faithfulness, manifested by a perfect obedience and complete surrender to his will. Then, brothers and sisters, the unbelievable manifestation of God's Holy Spirit shall come upon us. And we are all looking forward for that day. Because all this is happening, and all this will happen, because God is faithful. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother James. Truly, Yahweh has kept all of His promises through the ages, especially the one of, that He had promised from the very beginning of sending that one that would be the, our means of redemption, even Jesus the Christ, whom we gather this morning to remember. And we know that He will send Him again, as He has said. Thank you very much, James. We'll continue now with the singing of hymn number 151. Or 154, I'm sorry. 'Twas on that dark and mournful night when Jews and Gentiles joined their power against the Son of God to fight, to mock His name, His life devour. Hymn number 154. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. Brethren, we gather here today to remember the one who is our greatest example, our Lord and Master Jesus the Christ. He's the one that was sent by Yahweh. He's the only one through whom our sins can be forgiven. Our Master displayed in His lifetime upon the earth the most excellent character that had ever been seen before among men. And we know that even before being put to death, Pilate said of Him, "I find no fault in Him." You know, not only was our Master able to overcome all the faults that are common to the flesh, the faults that we all have and possess, and we work against diligently every day. But he had those same pulls and desires, but He also possessed every perfect virtue. He overcame those things perfectly. To Yahweh, His Father, Jesus expressed the most intense love and the most fervent and rational devotion. He displayed in His whole life the most absolute resignation to His Father's will by not only saying but living the words, "Not my will, but Thy will be done." His manner to others was courteous, gentle, and understanding. He was compassionate and tender to His fellow man. But He was direct and stern in His opposition to false doctrine and hypocrisy. Jesus worked tirelessly and diligently to save the lost children of Israel by continually speaking and teaching the Word of God to all that had the ears to hear. Jesus is in every way worthy of the name that He proclaimed before men when He said, "I am the Son of God." We're here this morning to remember our Lord and Master Jesus the Christ by partaking of the memorials before us, in the breaking of bread and the drinking of wine. The bread is a symbol of the body of our Master, for He, like the unleavened bread that is used, had no leaven or worldly influences in it. Jesus is called the Word made flesh, and as we know, the Word of God is perfect and pure in every way. Jesus also instructed His followers to take and eat His body. And we know that to do this, we must take His teachings, we must chew them and ingest them, meditate upon them, and we take them within ourselves. We digest them so that they become a part of us. You know, we are what we eat, and so it is with the truth and the words of Jesus. You know, we want them to become a visible part of ourselves, part of our personality, by eating and utilizing the words that He spake, His commandments, that they show forth in our actions, and in the things that we say, the things that we do, and how we think. You know, we want to be able to prove by our thoughts and actions that we are truly followers of our Master's example of perfection. The wine is a symbol of Jesus' blood poured out that we may have forgiveness from our sins. It was poured out as He was sacrificed on the cross. It reminds us that He was obedient to what was God's will, as He always put the will of Yahweh first and foremost in His life, even allowing Himself to be slain as a sacrificial lamb would have been. As we partake of the wine, we are proclaiming that we too are willing to sacrifice our own desires, the things of the flesh, for the kingdom of Yahweh. Just as the life is in the blood, for without it there cannot be life, so is eternal life connected with the blood of Jesus the Christ. He was compassionate to all men as He traveled, speaking and preaching the good news of the kingdom of God, so that they might believe the words of the one that sent Him. We know that when He spoke and He preached, He also corrected the evils and promoted godly justice and peace. In His short time of His life, He committed more acts of mercy and kindness and tenderness towards His fellow man than any human life had ever before exhibited. You know, this greatest act of kindness and mercy to us is His willingly being slain as that lamb from the foundation of the world. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26 and we'll read the account there. Matthew 26, beginning at verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." I'd like to ask Brother Dan to give thanks for the bread, please.
Once again, giving us this opportunity to gather around the table of Thy Lord, of Thy Son, to remember His great sacrifice. Now, as we partake of this memorial bread, we do recognize that it is a symbol for His sacrificial body. He dedicated Himself totally to Thee. He was not moved with the inclinations of the flesh, but it was always with Thy will. We realize what a struggle He went through, yet never giving in. This made His sacrifice unto Thee acceptable. We are very thankful unto Thee that You gave Your only begotten Son. We realize this is the great gift of love, and we are very thankful to Thee for it. Please hear our prayer and accept our thanks as we offer this through our great High Priest and Thy Son at Thy right hand, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Brother Lou, would you give thanks for the wine?
Almighty and righteous Heavenly Father, we are indeed grateful to Thee for what we see symbolized here in this wine, even the shed blood of Thy Son, for we realize that without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sin. We're indeed grateful for the strength that He manifested in fulfilling Thy will and the great love that thou hast shown us in providing that means of reconciliation. We offer our thanks to thee through his name, he who is our great high priest and king to come, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
We'll close with the singing of hymn number 33. The Lord our God most gracious is, compassion he delights to show, in mercy he is plenteous, but unto wrath and anger slow. Hymn number 33, after which I'd like to call on Brother Daniel Stevens to close with prayer.
Yahweh, great and eternal Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. We pray for thy kingdom to come, that all the earth may be filled with thy glory. Thank thee for this time that we have enjoyed to seek for thy kingdom. Learn of the way to it, and to be reminded that it is available. Pray for your strength and guidance in these last days of the Gentile dominion. May your grace and mercy lead us up into that kingdom that we so eagerly await. Be with all your faithful followers. Watch over us and guide us. Help us to always remember our high and holy calling. Follow the example set forth by your Son. For it's through his name we pray, as our mediator, our soon-to-be King, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please remain brief.